Good evening, all of you. It is a privilege and a challenge to be the last speaker of tonight. I hope you're all still awake, more or less. I think I have some good news for you. And bear with me while we try to make this work. I will be the first one tonight to have pictures.
Which one would you like to use?
This one, yes. I'm going to use both, actually. And duplicate. Okay. I'll be the first one to have pictures. You will see it in a minute if it works. You got it? And if you do well, I'll have you stand up in a minute, and I'll have you stretch. But you have to wait, not now. I will tell you when to do it, okay? We have it here. Bear with me for a minute, then you can stand up. First, we talked about today about the present and about the future. Last night and this morning, we talked also about the past, and I want to take you back to the past for a second to introduce you to this. And here's the picture. Ha. Anybody knows what is this? And now you can shout. Yes, I heard it. What again? Via Appia. This is Italy, the Via Appia. About 2,500 years ago, this road was built by the Romans. It is a road called Via Appia, and it went from Rome to Brindisi in the first place. And later on, it was expanded to an entire network in the Roman Empire. Anybody knows what it was built for in the first place? It's not a difficult question. Military. It was used for military purposes, to expand the Roman Empire. After that, it became useful for economic purposes, right? To get stuff across, transportation, trade, etc. I think this is the road that helped Julius Caesar to Veni, Vidi, Vici many times, too much actually, to trample civilizations, to execute his own cruel plans, and to build a society that you could call hedonistic, based on economic welfare, but in the end something that is for many a symbol of expansion thrift of a superpower. Via Appia is also the reason why you and I are here today. Christians from all over Europe who at some point in our lives were touched by the message of Jesus Christ. Because God used the Via Appia, who for many was a symbol of military, economic, and hedonistic purposes, he also used it for the good. Just like he said he would, that he would use everything for the good. And it was mentioned before that Paul went to Rome, and probably he has taken many kilometers on the same Via Appia. It was this perfect infrastructure that the Spirit used to get the gospel into Europe, across Europe, and to finally to here. Now, that was 2,500 years ago. Now we go back to today. We are seeing a new Via Appia being built, actually, right under our eyes. It started out for military purposes, then got economic value, and now you could call it a main infrastructure that is used to serve the needs of our modern society. It gives us instant access to information, communication, do transactions, and not, in the last place, entertainment, sex, porn, gaming, everything used for all sorts of self-satisfying purposes. And it is called the Internet. I think I don't have to tell you, I don't have to convince you of the fact that the Internet is changing our lives like we can ever have felt before. I want to spend a little bit of time to just a few words on that. This is what you would expect from a talk on Internet, many graphs and stats and technology stuff. I'm trying to keep that short, but of course there is some has to do with it. So here's the point where we're going to stand up and shout again. The first one is an easy question. Please stay seated. Who has an email address? Okay, I'll try to find the one who has not. It's very difficult. Now, here's where you can go stand up. Who of you is on Facebook? Very good. You are Cor. You're on Facebook too. Elsa. Yeah. I can see you. So you are some of the 700 million people that are on Facebook today. 700 million. If it would be a country, it would be already the third largest country in the world. Please stand up. Please stand, because now you have to stretch. Because the second question is, the ones of you who stand up, who are on Facebook, right? Who of you log in daily? Statistically, that should be about half of you. 50% of the users of Facebook log in daily to check their updates or update themselves, etc. So now you can be seated. Thank you. It was a good stretch. Sorry for those who are not online. You couldn't stretch. You have to sit. I'm sorry. Now, what happened a couple of months ago, a guy called Mark Zuckerberg, who actually is the inventor, he's the inventor or not of Facebook. There's a whole story about that in the movie. But anyway, Mark Zuckerberg, he's the CEO of Facebook. He put a message on the front page on the opening screen of Facebook.com for every user to see. At that time, there were about 500 million users. So I just give you a glimpse of the impact of this one 27-year-old guy who puts on a message by clicking on send or something like that. And that same day, 250 million people read that message as if it was written to them personally. Can you imagine the impact of the internet and of an application and a network like Facebook? It is incredible. We are heading into a time where we are always online, where we're always connected, and where everybody has access to the internet and wants it and needs it. It's becoming a first need, a life need. And then, it is where the people are. And then the questions come. Where do people go with their questions? Now, you and I may have friends to talk to or to ask questions to. But if I have a problem with my car, I don't have many mechanics in my circle of friends. I am not a mechanic myself. I don't have any clue of what cars are about. I go on Google. I check my type of car. If I look on my type of car, there's a lot of stuff about my type of car on the internet, which is not a good sign. And there are all sorts of solutions, all sorts of help is there to help me with the problem I have with my car. The same phenomenon is also true for spiritual things. The word God, just the word God, is being Googled daily by 50 million times. This is about big figures, big numbers, 50 million times. By month. The word God is Googled monthly 50 million times. And it shows something of the unique features of the internet to have access to all sorts of information. I think there's some very specific things about the internet that we have not seen before. And one of the things that I will expand on a little bit later, but I'll give you now, is that it creates an opportunity for what I call mass anonymity. You can be online without anybody else knowing what you're looking for, what you're searching, what you're doing there, actually. You can actually take on a whole other persona if you want to. You can just take some other personality, be somebody else on the internet if you want to. So this is something we have never seen before. I'll come back to that later. And last but not least, you remember Egypt, the revolution starting 3 months ago, 4 months ago. by Facebook, Twitter, all sorts of social networks. The internet has been a tremendous resource to start this revolution. Another example of how the internet changes the way we do and really shapes shapes our lives today is the music industry. Just yesterday I read in the paper that one of the largest Christian music distributors has gone bankrupt, mainly because they say they weren't able to shift from the selling of CDs and DVDs to downloading online. So it's really changing our lives. It's all very interesting. We could talk about hours about social media. We did a bit about iPads and mobile. I heard a funny story. If you think that internet is only for the West, it's not. We have phones these days with which you can go online. And a couple of months ago, a friend of mine was in Africa, and he was speaking to a bunch of African kids, a large group of kids, actually, together with an African pastor. And he was talking about the internet and Facebook, and then he stopped and he said, I'm sorry, this is something you don't know. And he said, what? Yes, of course. And they all held up their handhelds, their little phones, and they were all on Facebook, all these little African guys. So there is something going on worldwide, but specifically in Europe, as you can see in the picture here, internet has been a major part of our lives. Now, this is all neutral. There are very, very real dangers. We mentioned a couple of those. I know them myself. I have three kids. They are primary school age. They grow up. They know their way around the computer. They know their way around internet. My daughter called me one day last month, and she said, Dad, you have to go online. You have to go there and there. She's 10 years old, and she's just a girl, so you don't really expect. She says, you have to go to YouTube and then type in Donald Duck, old movie, search, and then you get the third hit. You have to download it, cut it for me, and put it back online because I want to use it at school. This is a real life story. It was, and the most funny thing happened. I do Twitter, etc. So sometimes, you know, and I try to be serious, of course, about ministry and gospel, etc. And then, but I connected it to YouTube. So what happened when I uploaded the Donald Duck movie into YouTube? It automatically fed into Twitter and said, Mark de Boer just uploaded a Donald Duck movie on YouTube. Nobody was really surprised. Okay, now we move more into what this all means for us in ministry. I just mentioned a few things about the mass anonymity. And one thing that I get to see more and more is actually what internet is doing with us. Internet is revealing who we are, really. If you would analyze the search topics, the trending topics on Twitter, etc., etc., if you go into the back doors of the internet and try to see what's happening, it is amazing what you can trace, what you can see, what you can analyze, what you can understand of what people are thinking, how they are thinking, what they are looking for, etc. And let me give you one example here. I'm sure you've all been to Google. If you type in a word in the Google search box, it will come up with suggestions. Some of you can, maybe some of you have seen that. You type in a word and then it comes up with search terms that have been used before. This is in Dutch, and the first word is ik, and the second word that I typed in is wil, want. And then the autocomplete by Google says to die. The first suggestion by Google, if you type in I want, is to say to die. Now, if until recently you would type this in, you would type in I want to die, whether in Dutch or in English, you would press hit, you would get a first screen of results, and they are actually about how to commit suicide. This is the way things work, this is the world we live in. Here you can see it a bit more clearly. The third one is actually very appropriate for me. It says, I want to get rid of my car. Big, big stories, big things happening. Now to the smaller. Here's Kimberly. Kimberly is a student in Rotterdam. And about 2.5 years ago, a friend of hers, she got into a conversation with a friend of hers. And this friend told her, he was a Christian, and he said, I don't accept the fact that you do not want to believe in God. They had had a whole conversation, but this was what was in her head when she went home. And after the party where she talked to the guy, she came home, she went online, she just Googled God, Jesus, she can't recall exactly what she did. But she came onto one of our websites, in our whole strategy of online missions, Knowing God. And she was touched by one specific video that's on that website. She contacted the e-coaches. She left her email address. And the e-coach said to her, why don't you go into our online course about Christianity? It's called Why Jesus? So she did that. Then after 2 or 3 weeks, it's a 5-week course, she said, you know, I can do this, but I can also talk to real people. So she joined the Student Alpha in Rotterdam, which was led by Navigators Rotterdam and Agape, our movement. And Kimberly gave her life to Christ in a Student Alpha course. She was discipled and followed up by her mentors there, the group leaders of Student Alpha. A year and a half ago, she became an e-coach for the Knowing God website herself. And 2 months ago, I signed their application papers, and she, together with her husband, are on staff now. This is the perfect example that I wouldn't want you to miss. But it's also a real, real, real life story of a girl that didn't know where to go with the real questions she had. She went online, and we could help her. She could be helped by people both online and offline. It's about real people in the real world taking real steps in faith to Jesus. And there are numerous examples. Kimberly is only one. Now, I'm going to show you something. And if it's okay, on the other screen, there will be a view of what I would call a God view. What you see here is Google Earth. And what you see actually is a representation of the backside of all the websites that are called Knowing God in 17 languages, mainly across Europe, but also across other parts of the world. And every time somebody comes on this website, like Kimberly, and is touched by the message and clicks a button that says, yes, this is something I want to do. Yes, I want to follow Jesus. You'll see a hit here. And it just happened, I can't really see it from here, but where are we? United States. Well, even there people come to Christ. How about that? And we have seen consistently coming people to this website, 25 million visitors in 5 years' time in the combined websites. 2.5 million people who indicated their decision for Christ. On average, between 1,000 and 2,000 a day. You can see it running. This is real life. We have an internet connection here. This is real life right now. Just now, somebody clicked. If you have a laptop, you can try it. You can manipulate the system. It always happens when we present this, but it's not bad to get it to Budapest. But this is what is happening right now, right here, the God view. And I cannot but think of the words of the scripture that says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro in all the whole world to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. That's what we see happening here. It's kind of the God view on the earth. And if you look at the main screen, the Jesus.net picture, you will see how we do that. We take steps, we take people from one step to another. And I'm not going to explain the whole story. We will have an open session tomorrow night in which we will get into more detail on this, how we do it exactly, how the things are connected to each other. But the basic principle is this. People take steps in faith. They don't jump all the way across a river. They take steps. And the internet is perfectly suited to help people take those smaller steps. And to start with a website, for example, on the subject of suicide. And this is also the real-life example of a Dutch website on suicide that is now the number one hit if you type in "I want to die" in Dutch. We have managed to get it at the number one so that when people go online with their real questions about suicide, the first hit they will see is a site that brings them testimonies, brings them an alternative, and points them to Jesus. This website feeds into more evangelistic websites. After the evangelistic websites, we have more follow-up. We have the online courses, I just said. We're developing discipleship courses, and that's all what it's about. And we call this sometimes, with a little blink of the eye, we say it's discipleship of non-believers. We start with people where they are, and we take them alongside. If you look at the picture again, you will see many, many stepping stones in the river. And the word was just mentioned by Colin. Partnership is essential in this whole thing. We work together, and we cannot but work together on this. Bringing the strength and the unique abilities and giftings of the different ministries. I'm going to have a good talk with Steve tomorrow on evangelism for the New Agers, which is a completely different world. Stepping stone for New Agers in this world would be perfect. I'm looking forward to that talk. The open evening is in Hotel Griff. It is just down the road, 5 minutes by taxi from here, and it will start at 7:30. I'll give you another example of the use of the internet in a very creative way, where we say we don't want to be like a one-size-fits-all or I would say an old-fashioned way, but I don't want to downplay any form of evangelism. But this is a creative form of engaging youth and not just reaching out to the neighborhood with a word, but also with deed. It's called loveisourweapon.com. It's worthwhile to figure it out. It is a campaign that is being supported online, where youth groups, churches, individuals can join in a love movement, in a love revolution, and do love deeds. You see on the right hand, you see 10 steps they take from a very practical way of helping into really discipling people and bringing them to the Lord. All supported by the internet with incredible numbers and statistics, etc. And then this, a couple of months ago when the disaster in Japan happened, we were invited just before that to come to Japan to talk about internet ministry. And we were almost to cancel this trip, but they invited us and said, "No, come right now, just come, because we need you. Now is the time." And the disaster in Japan actually opens up the hearts and the minds of people. And the internet is the perfect way to do that. These are photos that have been taken last month in Japan by people who are in front of their houses, this lady in the front of her house, and it gives a sign of hope, and there is hope. Not just for Japan, but also for Europe. And if you look back at the Google Earth, you can see it. 16,000 indicated decisions in Turkey right after we launched the Turkish version. In Poland, a great, great, great spiritual hunger. We have 70% of people that have done the online course Why Jesus that go into a real life alpha course. We're talking about the internet in an online age, and sometimes it's called virtual, but there's nothing virtual about this. These are real people, real stories, real lives. Communications, relationship through the internet is as real as we're talking here. The question is, what do we do? Do we take the opportunity to bring people closer to Jesus? Do we take this means, this wonderful new Via Appia, also in the way it was used 2,000 years ago? The challenge is up to you and me, and I would like to connect with you to expand the vision, to expand the horizons, and to see more people being won for God into the kingdom. Thank you very much.